Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Dan Bernstein Show. Middays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Speak up.
Shakia Taylor, baseball writer and historian. I keep getting back to this tweet that really resonated that you sent out, where you wrote, "I feel like I've written enough about people weaponizing Jackie Robinson's name against black folks to not have to do it again. Yet here we are." What I hear in that from you, I hear disappointment.
100% disappointment. It's also, you know, remember in 2020 when everyone was reading and listening and learning, everyone was saying that they were going to do better. Yet here we are once again having a race conversation in baseball.
I have been rhetorically asking Yankee fans who were booing, what are you booing?
They don't know what they're mad about because, I mean, you know, and I know, the very same people who booed Tim Anderson for feeling how he felt would have booed Jackie. That's the point of it.
The Dan Bernstein Show.
And the Yankees are delirious on the field.
On The Score.
She was so good yesterday, and the feedback that was coming in as people were listening to baseball historian Shakia Taylor was just great. And it's not hard to say, it's not hard to see, it's not hard to understand. It just, the way it all gets talked about and the way everything has to sort of get laundered and softened and watered down seems to be part of our process because it keeps people from having to confront some of these realities. And baseball has a remarkable way of just kind of splitting the difference. Okay, one game, but then we're going to kind of pretend he's got COVID and you can't talk to him because we know he might say something dumb. And that's how these things tend to work. So we all feel like, eh. But the good news is that we can look at this until we know otherwise. An optimist would look at this from the narrative perspective that I articulated during transition, and that is, all right, let's go. That's fine. Let's make some of this. Let's remember this moment. Let's draw a little line on here and say, okay, this middling, muddling first quarter of the season with all of its fits and starts and headwinds and bad defense and no walks and bad base running, get an opportunity. This is why I wish I trusted Tony La Russa and whatever the leadership is a little bit more, because I think a well-run team right here would look at it this way and try to make something good. I know you can't really go, I'm not saying go rah-rah and flip over the post-game spread or something like that, but this would be a time, however the team has to, when all of your leaders, everybody who's pulling in whatever different direction, you had Yasmani Grandal do cool stuff. You had Tony La Russa say good things. You had Liam Hendricks come to the defense of his guy. These are all positive things for a sports team. It's positive things for any kind of organization. The question is, how do you make it matter? How do you make it matter in baseball? You feel like you can run out of the room for a soccer game and you can go slap the sign and run out of there and go get them and run through your big piece of paper on senior night or whatever it is. It's hard to do that in baseball. It's almost impossible to do that in baseball. But it would be a shame if all of this good energy with all of the White Sox in the same direction and feeling that sense of togetherness, it would be a shame if that gets dribbled down their leg, because You don't get opportunities like this. It's just that that's what makes baseball different and interesting is a lot of the stuff is done after the fact. A lot of the stuff, you win 7 of 9 and you go back and say, well, you know, maybe this is why, maybe that's why. And it's not necessarily causal, but it gives you that opportunity to think it was. I hope that makes sense. It's just that if you were writing it, this is where you would start. If you are trying to tell the story of why the 2022 White Sox came together and won the World Series and ironed out any differences or patched over whatever cultural disconnects you had in your clubhouse or your lineups or everything else, it's been sort of an attenuated season to this point. As a fan, I've tried to talk about how uncomfortable it's been. If this would be one of those times to say, F it, all that, whatever it was, that's enough already. And this is starting again, and here you are against the Red Sox. Go get them. Be nice. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying one way or another, it might be nice. As we broadcast live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers, want to call in? Feel free. We got a phone. The phone number is 312-644-6767. We call it the Score Listener Line. It's powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Feel free to send an email, as many of you do, to BernsteinShow@670thescore.com. You go there to listen to us live. We stream at 670thescore.com. Your texting appears like magic in the text zone, brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at RosenHyundai.com. When you text, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein Show. You can follow me for sports and other things that I tweet and retweet. That is at Dan_Bernstein. Make sure you download the Odyssey app to stream the Score on your mobile devices. You can interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. I am looking at our Twitch stream at the moment. That is twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. You can check us out there right now. You have the distinct pleasure of seeing on the right in that two box there, that would be Mike Rankin with the keyboard in front of him, and that would be Rick Camp on the right to Mike's left. And in the back, we have Brandon Fryer doing the stuff that he does. That Twitch stream is directed by Connor O'Donnell and Evan Thomas. They're also moderating the chat, where people get in there and they do a show about a show about a show that I'm told, after I met one of the Twitchers last week, tends to devolve into conversations about professional wrestling. As these things go. So that's fine. I've got no problem with that. So here's hoping against hope that your White Sox story is written from here on in, and Josh Donaldson ends up being a villainous catalyst for their resurgence. It's not going to happen, but it just would be great if it did. There are other sports that set up a little better for these things than baseball, but you know, Dylan Cease is out there. You still have the stash? Is he still? Meanwhile, I don't know if anybody else with high school age boys has gone through this, but I learned something this year that everybody on some of these teams, they're all growing out, you know, their hair and beards and all that stuff. But when prom rolls around, really interesting what happens. All of a sudden you show up, hey, what happened to that scraggly-ass beard? What happened to your giant flow out the back of the head? And apparently maybe those probably don't want their prom pictures to look quite like the way the team photos look. Very interesting, as Artie Johnson used to say. And what I do like is those who did what we used to do for finals, when in college we would grow, like, you know, playoff beard, like finals beards, and then you didn't shave it all off at once. You would go to like artistic stuff. You do like the full goatee, and then the little rakish Van Dyke, and then you end up with a Fu Manchu, and you just sort of pare it down a little bit. Have some fun with it.
Get to an M, Jeff, before you're completely done.
I did. At one point, I did come out of the bathroom like, what do you think? It was just total Hitler. Just like the, you know, but you never go full Hitler on that. And actually, one of my kids' teammates had, it's like the, he did that where he had the stash going, and he just wanted to keep the stash for a day and wear it to school. But it just, like, the shadow, the shadow in the wrong light.
The shade wasn't right.
So it looked like if Hitler had played hockey, that's what it would have looked like. And I don't think he did. I'm pretty sure Hitler was not a hockey player at any point. But that's what it would have. It was like a hockey Hitler vibe, which is just kind of what he had going. It's like a, you know, decent.
Get a better vibe.
Yeah, get a better vibe. Not your best vibe. Hey, when we come back, I want to replay what Aaron Judge said, because that's your teammate. Like that's pretty definitive. When after a game, you can have all these bros and frat boys and dinguses going, you know, bending over backwards. Yeah, it's not racist. He didn't mean it that way. Yeah, it's racist, and you know it, and you won't own it because you're a coward, and you won't say it because you're afraid of something. But when a teammate comes out and says, yeah, you know, probably kind of racist. I don't think people like Josh Donaldson. I think Craig Calcaterra did a nice job in a couple lines of summing up what we're really talking about here. So, real talk, next on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All rise for the Honorable Judge.
Indeed so, and when Aaron Judge says what he says, it follows right along with the comments from his manager, because I like the fact that Aaron Boone didn't really defend Josh Donaldson. He said, I don't believe there was any malicious intent, but you know, this is just my opinion, somewhere he should not be going. And maybe it sounds like he kind of half-assed it, but I think that's his player. Remember that the default setting, that's the same. Aaron Boone is the same guy who ran out of the field screaming, my guys are savages in that box. Like, that is guy who already has, he is on the record as being a vociferous defender of his players to the point where he'll get kicked out and pay fines for it. Like, that's who he is. And for him to go even that far, this is just, in my opinion, somewhere he should not be going. Good for him. And I think that set a tone, and I think that was a tone echoed by the displeasure that Donaldson's own teammate Aaron Judge expressed.
You know, it's a tough one. You know, joke or not, you know, I just don't think it's, you know, the right thing to do there, especially, you know, given the history, you know, especially the series in Chicago, you know, kind of a little bit of beef between Anderson and JD, and, you know, Anderson's, you know, one of the best shortstops in the game, and you know, he's a big part of MLB and, you know, what's going on here and how we can grow the game. And, you know, JD for that one game suspension. Yeah. I don't know. I just don't think it, you know, on JD's, you know, he made a mistake, you know, owned up to it, and, you know, now we got to move on.
Okay. Made a mistake, crossed a line. This is what you want to hear from. It is very, very rare for someone to say that about a teammate. Even if you think, well, that's kind of weak, but it's not. Well, that's the guy next to his locker. That's the guy on the bus. That's the guy he sees every day. This guy, they're trying to win games together. That's why it's meaningful. So there were some other opinions here that I think really hit at what happened, why it happened, and then what's important. This was the assessment from Craig Calcaterra, and if you're not subscribing to the Cup of Coffee newsletter, you're missing out. I like what he just wrote in a few sentences here. He said, and I can't use the word that he said of Donaldson, so I'm gonna substitute a different word. His was a two-syllable word that it's a compound word with D and H, the last word being head. He says, I think the general assessment here is that Donaldson was not trying to be racist, but he was being a jerk. It was being a jerk in a way that led to a lot greater offense than he imagined, because his imagination in that regard is limited by how much of a jerk he is. But the general assessment's probably right. He said a one-game suspension is equivalent to MLB saying, we want to say we did something, but we really don't want to do anything, because if we do, we'll piss off Tucker Carlson or somebody like him. But I expect nothing more from the league. They weren't going to stake out bold new disciplinary regime and a guy being a jerk. If they ever do that, it'll be for a more expendable player acting with greater malice, and only after there's a sufficient outcry that they're trying to head off. I think that is probably right. I think that is a realistic, if cynical, way of looking at it. But leave it to Dave Zirin of The Nation to get at something that's bothered me, too, about on balance, now that it's done, now that baseball did what it did and what it didn't do, the overall effect of it. He said there's a bigger issue here than this little morality play. The idea that Josh Donaldson used the word Jackie as a racial slur. So on one level, it's shocking that Robinson's name should be remembered as a synonym for courage, but as a reminder that baseball, not just society, baseball was extremely racist when he attempted to integrate the sport. He said the problem with the way MLB celebrates and remembers Robinson is it talks a lot about the abstract words like bravery without discussing the environment he had to be brave in. It's the word society, as if racism were in the air, not something that baseball as an institution was built upon. Tony La Russa's vague praise of Anderson having a great game under those circumstances. What circumstances? When did racism become the weather? And the fact is, and this is the conclusion here about the whole thing. Now, we're a couple days removed from it, but Josh Donaldson represents a lasting culture within MLB. It is a culture in which Robinson is praised abstractly, but current players like Anderson are still routinely disrespected. When you alienate black players with magnetism like Anderson, it discourages a generation of young athletes who will choose to not play baseball because of how Anderson's been treated. That causes a great sport to suffer immeasurably. Baseball pays a price when it holds up a sign that says, not for you. So we pay a social cost beyond the generational loss of new talent by allowing racist ideas to fester in the national pastime. So calling someone Jackie Robinson should be the ultimate compliment. That it can be used as a slur tells us how much work this league still has to do to confront its ugly past and reckon with how that past informs its present. Hallelujah, and hear, hear to that. That's the whole baseball police thing. That is the act like you've been there before. That's why that I always push back more and more as I've come to understand the symbolism of that and how everything is counted, the Trojan horse of the right way. Play the game the right way. Pushing back against multiculturalism. Pushing back against players of color. Because they can be policed. And it's why it bothered me for how long Tony La Russa was a part of that. And if he's coming around, good for him. If he's growing and evolving and learning, I don't know if he is, but I allow for the fact that it's possible. That would be great. That would be a great ending to this story, too. In some ways, that's better than a World Series and a parade. If important people in baseball, Hall of Famer baseball people, can grow and learn, like a lot of us have. I used to be that guy. I used to say, well, they're jumping. Why are the Cubs celebrating in April like they won the World Series? Because I was part of that culture. I came up through the minors, pro baseball, and just being in and around it. And you don't know. You don't know that you're in it. You know, this is, you know, it's the two goldfish that David Foster Wallace talked about. Water's nice today. What's water? You know, this is what you don't know you're in that water until somebody else who's outside of that water says, hey, look at this. It's not my history. This isn't us. And I just hate that we're already warming it over. We're already sort of, okay, one game suspension. And we're already using words like he made a mistake and all this. But it's the lack of confrontation. It's the lack of baseball's reckoning with what that means and what that does and what that says and how other people who aren't us or aren't around it, how they feel about it, what it says to them, what that incident says to Tim Anderson and how the handling of this incident and everything it's said about this incident and what stuff is going on in the New York media and the New York Post to reinforce ancient racist structures. That message is being interpreted differently by people who feel like the game has pushed them outside, who don't have the same nostalgia for baseball history, who don't say, yeah, let's go back to when all was good and baseball was good. Really? No. Because there were a lot of people who were really uncomfortable and pushed away and worse. So that's what this situation has done. And that's a little bit the way the fact that baseball had a mealy-mouthed way of dealing with it. That's what happens. Here's Jordan in Evanston on the score. Hi, Jordan.
Hi, good morning, Dan. How are you?
Good.
Good. I had a question. You mentioned earlier the culture of baseball being different than that of others. For example, you mentioned that, you know, as players run out onto the soccer pitch, slapping the sign, going out, oh, hoorah, rah, and that doesn't really happen in baseball culture. And I was wondering why that would be when these are professionals who have worked so hard to get to the peak of their profession that they don't have that kind of optimism or enthusiasm as a culture.
They do, but you can't translate it to your play in the game of baseball because you can't. This is a game you can't play harder, where you can play, you can hear the crowd affect a boxing match. You can hear the crowd affect a soccer game, a basketball game, a football game. Those are sports you can physically translate emotion to effort. And in baseball, you can't do that. And in fact, trying to do that in baseball sometimes makes you worse rather than better.
Doesn't that often happen, though, with like closing pitchers and that kind of thing? And I know that's a small moment in a larger game, and it doesn't kind of happen continuously. But aren't there times when that happens, though?
I think there may be after the fact times where a pitcher can say, or sometimes a batter would say, the emotions made me more focused. But usually it's just that, because even a pitcher who's trying to, sometimes a pitcher will tell you, if I'm trying to throw harder, my mechanics get out of whack. Or a hitter will say, the last thing I want to do is try to swing as hard as I can because it messes up my concentration. It messes up my mechanics. It is just, even in those moments, we are projecting it because somebody's playing Enter Sandman and we're jumping up and down and here comes Rick Vaughn, a wild thing. But it doesn't mean that they're doing it harder when they have to be focused.
This is a fun, you know, mental exercise. I think you explained it really well.
Thanks,
because
George.
I think of playing basketball. You can turn it on. You can run harder down the floor. You can, you know, take control yourself. But in baseball, to be able to make plays or to get a base hit or whatever, you have to do the same things over again at essentially the same level every time. So if a ball is hit to your right, you do the same things to get to that baseball. But I think that's fun. It's a creative thing to think about.
Yeah, it's you know, in the grand scheme of things, this would be a great time to mark the White Sox calendar and say, this is when it turned on. But for those reasons, for baseball's a very complicated individual sport, and at the highest level, at the major league level, it's hard to be rah-rah. And when these things do happen, when Jason Hayward calls the Cubs into the weight room and talks to them, they didn't go screaming out. They were crying and hugging when you hear that story about and his pep talk wasn't go rip their faces off. It was we're good at this. We deserve to be here. This is our time. And it was about their focus and their concentration. And if after the fact they think that mattered, it wasn't let's go kill them. Let me see your war face. It was something other than that. It was deeply emotional, and it allowed players to be who they were, which is what baseball really is. That's what clutch is. That's what lack of choke is being able to be who you are in the biggest moments. And if that was able to help them do that, it's sort of the opposite of running out all jacked up. And it's for some reason why we love baseball and why it's the most human in some ways, we like to think, of all of these major sports. We're going to talk more baseball and find out all about the White Sox upcoming opponent with Rob Bradford of WEEI next on The Score. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly
Auto Parts. We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.